Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7 this evening. I'm in the book of 1 Samuel for my quiet times. And I was struck by this thought that I'm going to share with you this evening. And it's answering the question, what is the greatest way? What is the greatest way by which we can help others? 1 Samuel chapter 7, let's read verses 5 to 7 and then we will pray. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Let's pray. Oh God, please teach us from your word this evening. We are grateful for our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray if there are some in our midst that do not have that assurance of life eternal in Jesus Christ, I pray that you would strive with them and lead them unto yourself. Oh God, for those of us that know you personally, please help us to help others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. I think we all at times have asked the question, how can I really help this one in need? We could meet a practical need. We could provide a meal. We could provide financially. We could provide transport. We could make contact with a person. That could be a way of helping somebody. We could spend time with somebody. We could give godly counsel. Now, all of these are great ways to be of help. But what is the greatest way we can help one another? They're all good and all useful in ministering one towards another. But what is the greatest way by which you and I can help others? Samuel the judge, in this passage of scripture that we've just read this evening, answers this question. Now, the background is that the Ark of the Lord has been restored to God's people. You might recall that the Philistines took possession of it in the days of Eli, and now it is back amongst the people of God. Shiloh, where the Ark of the Lord once abode, was destroyed by the Philistines and is no longer the location for the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant rested. Now we find that the Ark of the Covenant is in the house of a man by the name of Abinadab in a place called Kiriath-Jearim. We are told there in verse number 2, came to pass while the Ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim. Now, Kiriath-Jearim is where the Ark of the Covenant abode, and it was not until the days of King David that the Ark was moved to Jerusalem. The Ark represented the presence of God. It represented the presence of God amongst God's people. And this, no doubt, had some effect upon God's people, because we read there in verse number 2 the second part of that verse. For it was 20 years and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So this ark, which represented the very presence of God amongst his people, had some effect upon God's people. And with that, Samuel challenges the people of God to follow God fully and to put away those Canaanite gods. Note then the third verse, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel challenges the people of God to turn back to the Lord fully, to remove those false gods that they had yielded to, those Canaanite gods, Baal, the storm god, that they turned to in times of drought, and also Ashtaroth, the goddess, the Canaanite goddess, the god of fertility, whose worship involved sensual, immoral activities. And Samuel said, you need to turn back to God fully and put away these false, vile gods. And Samuel said to the people of God, you need to get thoroughly right with God and you need to serve God fully. And if you'll do so, then God will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines, because they were still struggling. They were still being oppressed by the Philistines. They still feared the Philistines. In verse 4, we are told, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And from that basis, we read that now in verse number 5, that Samuel summons the people of God to a place called Mizpah. Mizpah is some 12 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. In verse 5, as we read, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. What was the result? Look at verse number 6. God's people got thoroughly right with God. God's people, in gathering at Mizpah, the Bible teaches us they poured water out before the Lord, of which this practice became a part of what became known as the Feast of Tabernacles, commemorating God's provision of water in the wilderness. So they poured out water unto the Lord. And then also verse 6 tells us that they fasted on that day. Fasting became a part of the Day of Atonement, which preceded the Feast of Tabernacle. They did the following, confessing their sin. And the Bible goes on to say, verse number 6, that Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Samuel provided spiritual guidance for God's people and helped them, enable them to be right with God. So we see in verse number 6 that God's people practiced what Psalm 51 verse 17 sums up. Sums up very well. Psalm 51, please, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So we see that Samuel gathered God's people there at Mizpah. He said to God's people, I will pray for you unto the Lord. And God's people responded. They responded. And the point I want to stress this evening that answers that very question, what is the greatest way by which I can help somebody? I would like to submit to you, the greatest way that you and I can help others is by initiating prayer, by praying for others. Samuel initiates prayer. He said to God's people, I will pray for you unto the Lord. And then we see the effects of Samuel praying for God's people. Samuel was a man of prayer who took the initiative to pray for others. He was known as a prayer warrior. Note with me in Psalm 99, please. Psalm 99, verse number 6. Psalm chapter 99, verse number 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Samuel was known as a man of prayer. And I'd like to submit to you this evening, though it might sound awfully basic and awfully simple, and really it should be a no-brainer, as we would say, as Bible-believing Christians, that the greatest way you and I can help others is by taking the initiative and praying for them. Most people lack initiative. In fact, most of us struggle to spell the word. I guarantee you, if I challenged you to spell the word right now, some of us would struggle, myself inclusive. Unfortunately, instead of praying, or prayer being number one, often it's our last choice in seeking to deal with a problem. See, the people didn't ask for prayer at this stage. Samuel chose to pray for the Israelites. Beloved, if we are to really be of help to others, we need to be initiators of prayer. Or do we only pray when we need to pray? We're faced with a crisis. Now, that's not wrong in itself, but we see that Samuel said, I'm going to pray for you. But if the truth be known, we only pray, and often it's the last step, when we need to, or we are asked to pray. And I'm afraid that these questions reveal what value we really place on prayer. See, Samuel initiated prayer. And we see how God worked in the hearts of God's people. How God's people realized that they were not living as they should. And the Bible teaches us that Samuel judged the children of Israel there in Mizpah. When Nehemiah heard of the hardship of his people back home, he prayed. I don't read in Nehemiah chapter 1 that those that gave him that report said, Samuel, will you pray for us? Went to prayer. When Daniel heard that no one was allowed to pray to any other god for 30 days, Daniel took the initiative to pray. Went to his room, opened up his window, pointing towards Jerusalem, and he prayed. He prayed. Prayer is the greatest way by which we can help others. Samuel initiated prayer. Samuel initiates prayer. He said to the people of God, I will pray for you. The Lord Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Love God, love your neighbor. And the greatest means by which we can show love towards one another is by taking the initiative and praying for others. Samuel said, I will pray for you unto the Lord. I will pray for you unto the Lord. Not long after this great victory in the lives of God's people, we see that the Philistines, they hear of God's people being assembled there at Mizpah. And in verse number 7, the Bible teaches us, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. So not long after this great personal victory in the lives of the Israelites, we see the Philistines go up to Mizpah in order to fight against Israel. And no doubt God's people thought or said to themselves, here we go again. And note what takes place in verse number 8. The end of verse 7, it reads, the children of Israel heard it and were afraid. Verse number 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So back in verse number 5, Samuel said to God's people, I will pray for you unto the Lord. He took the initiative. God did a work in the hearts of God's people. And now we find that God's people are confronted with another challenge by the Philistines. They're fearful. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Samuel, please, will you pray for us? Note the wording there in verse 8. Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Will you pray for us continually? And then note the second part of verse 8. Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they asked Samuel, they asked that Samuel would pray for them continually without ceasing, and that he would pray for them specifically that God would deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. So we not only see that prayer was important to Samuel and Samuel took the initiative to pray, but we note here the people of God had faith in Samuel as a man of prayer, and they said, Samuel, please, will you pray for us continually? Will you pray for us continually until God delivers us out of the hand of the Philistines? So not only do we see in verse number 5, Samuel praying taking the initiative to pray. But we see in verse number 8 that he prayed without ceasing. And he prayed specifically. In Psalm 20 verse 7, the Bible reads, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." That'd make a good song. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Beloved, the greatest way we can help people is by praying for them. Taking the initiative to pray for others. I'm certainly not minimizing the importance of providing practical help. Nothing wrong with that. But the greatest way, the greatest means of support is for you and I to take the initiative and to pray one for another, to take seriously the matter of prayer and power through prayer. As 1 Thessalonians 5:17 teaches us, that we are to pray without ceasing. And may I remind you of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Please, Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 18. The Bible teaches us from verse 10 onwards that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Verse number 11, if we are to stand against the wiles of the devil, because we are in a spiritual battle. And then verse 18 is the climax. Note, praying always. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, watching thereunto. Praying in faith, believing God will hear the cries of his children with perseverance and supplication. Praying specifically, diligently for all saints. Praying always. So in order to combat the attacks of the evil one, we are told that we need to put on the whole armor of God, because we are in a spiritual battle, and part of that armory is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. So we see back in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that Samuel initiated prayer, and because God's people had a regard and respect for the man of God, they said, "Samuel, Samuel, please, please pray for us. Please continue to pray for us until God delivers us out of the hands of these Philistines." See, it wasn't just a bunch of Philistines that turned up at Mizpah. It was five lords of the Philistines. It was all the big cheeses that turned up. That's why they were afraid. And it was requested of Samuel, "Samuel, please, will you pray for us without ceasing? And will you pray for us specifically?" Let me ask you, when was the last time that somebody went out of their way and made contact with you and said to you personally, "Brother, will you pray for me?" Samuel had the respect of his people, that they knew that this is a man of God. Herein lies a prayer warrior And they said, Samuel, please, will you pray for us? Pray for us without ceasing. Pray for us specifically that God would deliver us out of the hand of the Philistines. And if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 9, the Bible reads, and Samuel took a sucking lamb, a young baby lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And note the second part of verse 9, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So upon offering a sacrifice, Samuel fervently prays for God's people. That word, cried unto the Lord, conveys the idea of fervency. Fervency. Samuel cried out to God on the behalf of God's people. Red hot praying. Red hot praying. That's what we need today. Not heartless, formal, rambly prayer. Prayer from the heart that's on fire. And that's what we see from Samuel here, that he cried unto the Lord for Israel. In the book of James, it's spelled out this way, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm afraid so often our prayers are just rambly. They make little sense. We're daydreaming at the same time. They're heartless, they're formal, they lack the fervency that warrants the listening ear of God. And we need a revival of red hot praying. We need a revival of God's people that see the importance and the power of prayer. We need a revival of people of God that are so right with God. They feel for God and they feel for people, and it affects the way they pray. That's what we need. When God's people cry out to him with fervency, God delights to hear. And God delights to answer those prayers. As we pray for one another, that fervency is possible. Because there in Romans chapter 8, please. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, God has given us the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that abides within the redeemed, to help us to pray. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's pretty obvious when you hear some pray. I've got to admit. I'm sure I've been guilty of it at times. But people have been listening to me pray and wonder, what on earth is he saying? And where is he going? But I tell you what, when you know that somebody is filled with the Spirit of God and they're praying in the Spirit, you know, this one wants God. This man's in tune with God. Because it's the Spirit of God that helpeth our infirmities to pray as we should pray. And I'm afraid that so often our prayers are very formal and they're heartless and they're rambly, Because it's us praying and it's not us yielded to the blessed Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us to pray. Oh, beloved, we need to spend a little bit more time just being still before God and saying, God, help me to pray. Please, you promised to help me to pray. Give me that fervency. Give me your heart. Give me your mind. Help me to pray. That's Samuel, a man of prayer. See, our prayers access omnipotence. Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. C.H. Spurgeon. Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. But prayer that's fervent, not just going through the motions, not just parroting a bunch of words, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led prayer. See, God is the greatest influencer in our world today. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have the privilege of entering into His presence and seeking help in time of need. As Hebrews 4 teaches us, verse 16, please. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. Our prayers can go where we cannot go. Our prayers to God can do what we cannot possibly do. Our prayers to God can accomplish more than what we can accomplish. Do we really believe that? We say we do. But do we pray in such a way that we convince God that we really believe that? Prayer is powerful. And the life of Samuel teaches us that prayer is the greatest way we can help others. And that's what struck me as I read this chapter in my quiet time earlier on this week, that it was prayer. Now, I, as a pastor, love to help people. Believe it or not, I really want to help you. I really do. And I meditated upon the fact that I thought, now how can I really help when you so desperately want to help? And the Spirit of God just really challenged me and reminded me afresh, my son, prayer. 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 Fervent prayer. Specific prayer. Praying without ceasing for others. And I'm honored when I have God's people call me, contact me, and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I value that. I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored. When some of you make the effort to say, Pastor, pray for me.
because that is the greatest way by which you and I can help others. Asking the God of omnipotence to intercede on the behalf of his children. So we need to take the initiative and pray. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray specifically, and we need to pray fervently. Let's note what happens. Look at verses 10 and 11. And as Samuel, back in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Let's note what happens here. God sends a huge thunderstorm that unsettles the Philistines. And the Bible teaches us that God smites them before Israel. The image of the Baal god involved Baal holding a thunderbolt in his hand. So when the Philistines heard the thunder, they feared one greater than their Baal god was on Israel's side. That's why they went into panic. They heard thunder. And they knew it wasn't their Baal god, the god of thunder. So God smote the Philistines, and following this, the Israelites chased them away. God has done the hard yards. And God's people had the privilege of seeing the power of God at work. Why? 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 Because Samuel prayed. Samuel prayed without ceasing. Samuel prayed specifically. Samuel prayed fervently. And lo and behold, God works. God works. God does that which he can only do. See, Samuel took seriously the importance of prayer. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse number 23. Note what Samuel said. Moreover, as for me, 1 Samuel 12:23. I had this underlined in my Bible. I encourage you to underline it in your Bible. Moreover, as for me, God forbid, note this, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. God forbid, said Samuel, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Samuel took seriously the importance of prayer, the importance of instructing God's people in the ways of God. God gave the Israelites a great victory there at Mizpah. Why? Because of a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior by the name of Samuel. Samuel. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7, please. Note then verse 12, Samuel, to commemorate what God has done, sets up a monument, a stone. Note then verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Eben, stone, stone. Ezer, help. Stone, help. Literally, the stone of God's help. Ebenezer. And note the end of verse 12, it reads, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So this monument that Samuel had set up, which he called Ebenezer, was to commemorate the fact that God has helped us. Our God is a God of help. In Psalm 54, 4 it reads, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Hebrews 13, 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So Samuel honors God by setting up a memorial, a point of reference where God's people can, down through the ages, ask the question, what does that stone represent? And people could cry out, that is Ebenezer. That is a reminder that God helps his people. God helps his people when God's people take seriously the charge to pray, to take the initiative to pray without ceasing, to pray specifically, and to pray with fervency. Fervency. May God help us to pray. In conclusion, what is the greatest way by which you and I can help one another? The answer is, what kind of prayer? Initiative. Without ceasing. Specifically. And fervently. May God teach us to pray. To pray in such a way that we are helping one another. Yes, let's practically help one another in time of need. But the greatest help that we can offer to someone is to pray for them. Where we can look to God by faith to do above and beyond that which we can ask or think. May God help us to pray. To pray with fervency, to pray specifically, to pray without ceasing, to take the initiative to pray. And then we can truly say, Ebenezer, God is our helper. Let's bow for prayer.